Good morning. I had to wait for that line to come through. It's so good. It is great to be with you. Wasn't that awesome? The story of what God is doing through the Kleins over in Thailand. It is. It's so awesome. And I love what he said, that prayer and telling people about Christ is at the center of everything they do, and that is going to make the difference. Totally believe it. I hope you will meet with them after the service and just be in prayer for them ongoing. They're doing a great work. If this is your first time visiting, we are thrilled to have you with us. For everyone, it is great to be together. We have been going through the Psalms this month. We call it Psalmology. It's about trying to understand who God is, which is theology, and bringing that down to the earth level in what we experience in everyday life, bringing it to reality, the heaven, the realities of heaven to the realities of earth so that we can live it. And we invited everyone to be dwelling in the Psalms this month. So we hope you've been doing that, and we hope today that as we dive into this, that it will move us to something different. I don't know how instructive this is going to be, but I hope it's envisioning. I hope it is inspiring, and it will leave you wrestling when you leave here today a little bit. How many of you have been moved to something beautiful? Anyone been moved by something beautiful? The psalm we're going to be looking at today, it's about someone who catches a glimpse of something that is so beautiful, he's moved to writing about it. Maybe a piece of artwork has moved you, or maybe a song, maybe witnessing a beautiful interaction between two people. Just this week, we were making dinner. It was later than usual. It was dark outside because it gets dark at like noon now, which is really annoying. I was excited about the meal. It was a steak, but I had to go outside and grill it, which I was not excited about. And so I did it, and I'm grilling, and I'm under the light of the garage, and I'm looking over at our house, and we have a big window in front of our dining room, and you can see through that and then see right into the kitchen. And unbeknownst to my family, I'm getting to watch what they're doing. And there's this moment where my wife is carrying our son and our daughter, and they're walking, and they're all smiling, they're going to sit down at the table. And then right before she puts our son Z in the seat, she just gives him this awesome kiss and sets him down. And in that moment, I was struck with so much beauty of what God has done in my life. From where I was as a lost, selfish student in college to where I am now, and that I have a beautiful wife and two kids that we didn't know if we would ever have kids. It took a lot of hard work. And to see God's blessings in that moment, his goodness and grace and provision in my life. It was one of those moments where you see in a movie where it's like someone gets to go see what could have been. Do you know those moments? But this was actually my life. This was real, and it was amazing. And I'll tell you, in that moment, I worshiped God. Seeing that beautiful moment I will cherish for my life moved me to worship and connect with God. The beauty of life and all that God has done for me in that moment was so powerful. And it's true of the psalm that we're going to look at this morning. David, the shepherd boy from the story of David and Goliath, the same David who grew up to be king of Israel. He saw something that was so beautiful in life that it moved him to put into words. And I'm convinced that the beauty that David saw nearly 3,000 years ago is just as beautiful as it is today. And the world is longing for it. But before we jump in, let me pray. Lord, I thank you for the Psalms. I thank you for David, Lord, that he didn't just see beautiful things and then go in and eat a steak like I did. Lord, that he put it into writing. He put it into song, that people are led by this to see the beauty that's in it, Lord, and to pursue it. Lord, I pray that you would reveal this to us today, Lord, that we would be inspired, that we would desire this in our life. And then through that, the world would come to know you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Psalm 133. If you don't have a Bible, we're going to have it on the screen, or you can pull out if you have the phone Bible. If you don't own one, we have free ones at the back. We'd love to give you one as a gift. Psalm 133 is similar to the one I started with in week one of this series. It is a psalm of ascent. It actually says this at the beginning of the psalm, that it is a song of pilgrimage, ascending to Jerusalem, a psalm of David. And if you were with us in week one, we talked about how many of the people believe that the Jews would recite and memorize these as they went up to Jerusalem throughout Israel 3 times a year at the Feast of the Lord, the Passover, and Pentecost, and Tabernacles. It was a psalm of ascent, almost like as you read this and recite it, it's going to take you higher in your thinking. A form of worship that literally takes you higher. They enlighten our mind beyond our circumstances to higher ways of God, higher ways of thinking, our understanding, our attitudes. This psalm was used in that way as they're heading towards Jerusalem to move them past life and to think about God. And I hope that does today, moves us in our thinking. It's just a short psalm, 3 verses. Verse 1 says, "How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony." So David has wasted no time. In the first verse, he is telling us what is beautiful. The word wonderful there is, it means beautiful. So how beautiful and pleasant it is when brothers, what? They live together in harmony. Harmony is the combination of 2 different musical notes played or sung at the same time to produce a pleasing sound. There was a competition, the Sing-Off, season 3. Anyone heard of Pentatonics, the group? 5 friends whose voices collectively harmonize in a way that literally has moved millions of people around the world. It is so beautiful. Individually different and distinct voices, but together they harmonize in a powerful way. More broadly, it means a pleasing combination or arrangement of different things. In art, harmony is when the objects are aligned and they work together in such a way as to make the whole beautiful. When it's present, your eyes and your brain are pleased to see it. And I was talking this week about harmony with my fellow staffer, Tim Curtis, and he said something profound. He said, "Harmony is so beautiful, especially in a world that values equality over unity, because equality and even agreement can be false versions of harmony and counterfeit of love." Harmony and love are greater. It's not about sameness or beauty in unity. Think about an orchestra playing together. All the different pieces playing different notes, different things, but it all comes together and it's beautiful. How many people do you think would show up if it was billed 80 piccolos tonight, all playing the same song at the same time? Like, that's not very moving, right? It's the differences of the orchestra that is so powerful that brings people together. And there's beauty in diversity when it's lived together peaceably, agreeably, and in harmony. And from here, David moves to explain this beauty because he's saying it is so great. Let me highlight this for you. And he uses pictures that are common for everyone in the day. So he says, "For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured down over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe." As precious as the anointing oil. You can go to Exodus 30 later today or this week and read about the anointing oil. There were 4 spices and then 1 gallon of oil, 5 ingredients total. It was a recipe never to be repeated except for this use for the priests. He said, "This is a holy anointing oil set aside for me and my purposes. The things that go in the temple or the tabernacle, the priests that serve there, they are to be anointed. That is the only ones that are to use this." And when you mix up that recipe of 5 ingredients, it weighed 45 pounds. 45 pounds of oil. And where they moved, they had to carry this with them. And whenever there was a new priest to be anointed, they would dip, some thought, a cup or even a horn, and then they would pour it over the head of the priest. And you could look at it and go, "Well, couldn't you just kind of do a little dab, save some?" No, they were wasteful from a human perspective. From God's perspective, he was giving them a picture. This is precious oil. It is only mine. But for the priest who intercedes on your behalf and enters the holy place, he is dousing it with his grace. It's running down across the whole beard, down onto the robe, his garments. It's a picture of that David's painting that's saying, harmony, relational harmony, is as beautiful as this precious oil. And it's running down from above. That's a picture that he wants us to see, is that this blessing, this precious gift is coming from above. And in that verse, in verse 2 of the psalm, it says down 2 times, down on the beard and down on the garment. David is saying relational harmony is as precious as God's precious anointing oil. And he has elevated harmony here in people's minds. So he's saying, hey, this is beautiful. I think so. But let me show you. It's even more beautiful than I think. It's as beautiful as God's holy anointing oil. It's not just a good thing or something we should shoot for. This is precious. As precious as the anointing oil that's for God himself. And then he goes into another picture. In verse 33, he says, harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. So not only is it precious, it's refreshing. It's as refreshing as the dew that falls on Mount Hermon. The dew, Mount Hermon is in southern Syria, just off the border of northern Israel. The dews in the Syrian nights are excessive. On many mornings, it looks as if it had rained. In fact, there was one who camped in a tent on that mountain and said, we were sufficiently instructed by experience what the holy psalmist means by the dew of Hermon, our tents being as wet with it as if it had rained the night before. And if anyone is camped in the rain or woke up and had a drenched tent, you understand what this is. And I cannot imagine that amount of dew in a night. I would probably wake up and go, did it rain? Did I miss something? And here's a picture for you, a map to show you. Mount Hermon is in the north. That's that northern circle, way up in the north. Down there, the bottom circle is Jerusalem. In Israel, the waters of the Jordan River that flow from Mount Hermon start in Lake Galilee. The Jordan cuts all the way through, and then it ends down there in the Dead Sea. So the entire water system starts up there and flows down. And just to give you a little bit of picture of what this looks like, that square right there on Lake Galilee is Tiberias. The next picture is taken from there looking at Mount Hermon. You see the mountains in the background? This is no joke. Those are snow-capped mountains. This is not what most people think of Israel, right? Raise your hand if you've. This is something different than what you expected. All right, you're with me. When I looked this up, I was like, wow, is that, whoa, that's the Sea of Galilee? What? Because most of us have never been there. But for everyone in Israel, they know this mountain. They know these to the north of Galilee. They see that the waters, the snows, the dews on that land are basically the water source for all of Israel. It's, again, that imagery. It's coming down from above on Mount Hermon. Not only that, Mount Hermon is the pinnacle mountain up there. Most weather systems move kind of to the from the west or from the north coming south. And that is pretty much the main point at which a lot of the weather systems form around that mountain and head down. So when he's saying that the dew is, it's as harmony is as refreshing as the dew of Mount Hermon, he is touching on a picture that resonates in everyone's mind. They can see the refreshing dew of Hermon, not just in the dew, but in the water that nourishes the Jordan. Almost all their rain, all their water, their life source of water is coming from this area, coming down from above geographically. And he's saying harmony among people is so beautiful, so good. 3,000 years ago, he's saying it's as precious as the holy anointing oil and as refreshing as the dew of Mount Hermon. And there's been a lot of troubling things in the news lately, hasn't there? Anyone been reading the news? I mean, there's economic challenges. There's been droughts, earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, and most recently, terrorist attacks overseas in Lebanon and France. And I was reading about the attacks in France the other night, and I was just saddened. I was frustrated. I was angry. I was feeling a lot of things. And then I saw something that moved me higher, something that struck a chord with me that changed my mindset and attitude, moved my focus from all the bad to what was truly good, what is beautiful. And this is what I saw. I needed to go online and find something at Amazon because we were ordering a present. And when I went to Amazon in an unexpected place, this is what I saw. Solidarity with France. I thought, wow, this company gets it. And when I saw that solidarity, do you know what that word means? Another word for that is? Harmony. It's the same thing. And it struck a chord with me, and it was beautiful. And not only that, it has struck a chord with billions in the world. Millions, hundreds of millions on Facebook taking on this flag saying, we stand with you. Not only that, other nations and countries. Look at these pictures. This is Calgary. They lit up their big tower with the colors of the France flag. From there, this is China, one of their towers. I think next we have San Francisco, a Capitol building. From there, this is in Taiwan, the huge tower taking on the colors. New York City, that's the new tower. And then Sydney, Australia. All around the world, people are saying, we stand with you in solidarity. We are united with you in the midst of your tragedy, in your brokenness. And this is why this is so powerful for us as followers of Jesus Christ, because solidarity is the gospel. Christianity is unlike any other religion because it reveals God chose solidarity with us. That God chose to become human, to be one of us, to be with us, to live the way we couldn't live, to play the way we couldn't play, to take the broken notes of our lives and make them beautiful with him. And he has extended his hand, invited us in to be with him. He harmonized humanity. Everywhere he went, there was brokenness and dissonance, and he would heal and restore and create resonance. He took broken pieces and made them beautiful. He took off notes and made them wonderful parts of his symphony of redemption. This is what the scriptures tell us in Galatians chapter 3. It says, "For we are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." We are all one in Christ Jesus. We all stand at the foot of the cross, the most level ground the world has ever seen, because of what he did. And the church is to be like no other place on earth, where God's solidarity is expressed through his people, which is what Romans gets into. In Romans 12, Paul commands us. He says, "Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep." Yes, we weep with those who are in France. We stand united. We say, yes, we hurt, we mourn. With those in Lebanon, in the tragedies of Beirut, with the things that happen in our own country. But even beyond that, more locally, there's sickness in our midst. We're the body of Christ. If you can imagine, you get a little cut on your finger, and do you feel it? Do you just forget about it? No, you know it's there. We're the body of Christ. When someone suffers, we suffer. We feel it. So what do? We come. We stand with. We weep with those who weep. We take care of one another. We love one another. And he says, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Which that kind of gets back into Psalm 131, which we touched on 2 weeks ago. But it's this idea of living in harmony with one another. That is what Christ came to do. We live in harmony with God and in harmony with one another as his body. And when we do that, we are living, breathing representation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And just like I experienced that night when I saw the expression of solidarity through Amazon, and through all these world buildings, and through countless cities and nations and individuals embracing the colors of France, our solidarity as the people of Jesus will lead people higher to him who sits on the throne. Why? Because harmony takes you higher. Harmony takes you higher. It does. When you are struck in those moments of seeing something beautiful, it moves you. It moves you higher. That moment that I saw my wife, the beautiful moment with the kids, I worship God. When people see the beauty of the body of Christ and the harmony that we live in, it takes people higher. It's what Jesus prayed for at the end of his life. He said, I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. And it's what he said in John 13 when he said, so now I give you a new commandment, love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. For love, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. It's our solidarity with one another that reveals that we are in harmony with each other and in harmony with God. And that's what people see. They look at us. They go, well, I see the God of the Bible, and then I see the people, right? Everyone knows Gandhi's quote. Mahatma Gandhi, I love Jesus, but the people. He couldn't get past the people. There was dissonance. What he saw in the Christians didn't line up with the scripture and what he saw in Christ. And when we live in harmony and we live in harmony with God, it makes sense and people are drawn to it. They want solidarity. They want to see this. And this is where the psalmist ends and takes us. Because our harmony with one another proves that we are following him. We are his disciples. Our life reflects his. It shows that our life, the life that we live and believe, has come down from above, as the psalmist said, talking about the anointing oil coming from above, the dew coming from above. Jesus Christ, Christ means the anointed one who came from above to give us true life. It's exactly what David is describing. And the beauty in that is that as we live it, our harmony with God and with one another, it can take people higher to the one true God who can give them everything, even life ever after, which is this, where this ends. It says, and there, talking about Zion, but I think also about harmony. In that place, God has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. He's saying harmony is beautiful. It can take people higher. It reveals God's goodness, his blessing, and what he wants to give them, life everlasting. And I don't have many practicals for you this week, other than choose to live in harmony. Why? Because harmony will take you higher. And the areas that I want you to just think on, if there was a practical, it's to go away with this week, wrestle with the scriptures, look at the ones that we've talked about, maybe listen to this talk again so you have those, and think through these areas in your marriage. Could you use more harmony? With your parenting, if you have kids, relationship with friends, coworkers, neighbors. The holidays are coming, aren't they? How's the harmony with the family? Could you go back? Is there a place that you need to forgive someone, perhaps yourself? Could you use to express your love or your care or your appreciation to someone a little bit more? Could you choose to lay down your desires for the sake of someone else's? All hard choices, but I promise you, as you choose harmony, it will take you higher, and the people around you as well. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for this psalm. Lord, that what David saw 3,000 years ago, he took time to point out, Lord, that harmony is beautiful and that it leads us to you, Lord. I pray that in the midst of this right now, the world is just shaken, Lord, by the tragedies and what's going on, Lord, and people are longing for solidarity. They're longing for harmony. They want peace, Lord, and we know that you came to give us peace. Lord, I pray for those in Beirut and those in Paris, Lord, that your love would be there in tangible ways, that people would, who are followers of you, would express it, Lord, that people, you would meet them in their needs, in the brokenness, Lord, that you would bring peace, comfort, that you would weep with those who weep right now. Lord, teach us all to stand in solidarity with those who suffer and weep or are broken. Lord, and teach us to live in such a way of harmony that the world will see and catch a glimpse of your beauty through us, and that will take them higher, Lord. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.